Good morning. Jimmy looked at me at the scripture reading and said, "This isn't a psalm." I said, "I know, it's Christmas time, baby. It is time to talk about baby Jesus." So if you have your Bibles, Luke chapter 2 is we're going to be talking about, and the Christmas season is upon us. Now, I know that in the next few days and weeks, there'll be decorations going up around here. We'll have wreaths on the doors, and there'll be an angel tree out there. And I know that at home, probably most of us have our Christmas tree up at some point, and they're light. You know, today it's 60 degrees outside, and I was told, you know, today would be a great day to put lights up out on the house. So, and I said, well, you know, today would also be a great day to take a nap and play some golf. But guess what I'm going to be doing? Putting lights up on the house. You know, it is that time of year. We've just, you know, I saw only in America can we spend a whole day giving thanks for all that we have, and then just a few hours later be throwing elbows for the best deals we can get at Walmart and other places like that. But isn't it a wonderful time of year when the weather's changing, it's getting colder. We're reminded of how much we love summertime, maybe, or how much we love the impending snow. And everybody is thinking about being thankful. And most of the world is thinking about the birth of Jesus. And over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about the fact that our Lord condescended from a heavenly realm and came and lived among us for a time, taught us everything that we need to know about God and everything that we need to know about ourselves, and then died on a cross and rose from the dead so that we could be with Him forever. And I know historically speaking that it's probably not the time of year that Jesus was born, but it is a time of year that most of the world is at least considering the birth of Christ. So what I want to do is spend the next few weeks talking about our role in presenting the story of a God who loved us enough to not leave us in our sin, not leave us in our circumstances, but to come to be with us, to teach us, and ultimately to redeem us. But as we think about that, there's probably some changes that we need to make in the way that we approach not only Christmas or this time of year, but at the way that we approach our role in the story. So this morning I want to start off our Christmas season, Advent, if you will, are awaiting the coming of Christ, with the idea of there might be some changes that we want to make this Christmas. And so the title of the lesson is Make Change This Christmas, and not the kind of change you get back from the cashier, although, you know, we're probably used to that by now. I know that it seems like the shopping season starts earlier and earlier and earlier. And, you know, we're just going to go straight from Halloween to Christmas next year, I'm convinced. But in Luke 2, I want us to read about the change that we can make as we anticipate the coming of God, as we anticipate the renewal of our lives this Christmas season. One of the things that we have to understand about the setting here, and that you'll indulge me to kind of paint this picture. But the setting is basically just an ordinary day. And the fact of the matter is that extraordinary things happen on the most of ordinary days. That if we will simply be anticipating something or looking for it on just an ordinary, average day, because Jesus might have been anticipated at this time. I mean, the prophecies of Christ, the prophecies of a Messiah, were not new. It wasn't something that was talked about. It wasn't something that was front page news in the people of that day. It was something that was prophesied hundreds of years before, but still it was anticipated. But He always shows up unexpected. Have you ever been waiting for something? Waiting for something for so long. And then when it finally shows up, you almost don't recognize it. That's basically the story of Christmas. That's basically the story of the birth of Christ. That's basically the story of how Jesus came to live and to walk among us, is that it was something so anticipated and so waited for, and the people of that day didn't even recognize it when He showed up. A lot of times His family didn't even know. A lot of times the people that He lived with on a daily basis didn't even recognize Him. We have that same problem. We go through life doing the most ordinary things on the most average of days and not realizing the extraordinary opportunity that we have maybe sitting right beside us or living even in our own homes. So this morning I want to talk about four changes. As we go through our life, it's one thing to know the story of Christ. It's one thing to know the story of the Bible. It's one thing to have all of our doctrinal ducks in a row. But what changes do we need to make to be more like Jesus, to be more like the story that we read about? Well, they're not hard changes to make. They're not earth-shattering. But most of the time, they're life-changing. And not just our life. But think about, who can I affect? Who can I change with me this season? I mean, because all of us have been through Christmas before. All of us have been through, you know, Thanksgivings. And all of us have done this before. But do we ever stop to think, through this season, through these actions, through this, whatever it is that we're doing, who can I change along with me? Who can I affect for the better? So we read the story, and I thank Denning for reading, doing such a good job reading that. But I want to, that's the part that we're familiar with. The shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock. The angel that appears to them and says, "Don't be afraid. I've got great news. It's going to be a joyous thing that you hear about. This is going to be a sign." And then there was a great company of heavenly hosts, of angels, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried. They went off to see Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed. And the shepherds said to them about what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, but they had just been told about. As we read through this story, we see, as I said, an ordinary average day. But what did the shepherds do that kicked off this change in their life? This average, ordinary day, just like any other, they're living in the fields with the sheep, doing what they do every single day, just minding their own business. And the first thing that the Bible says was that something appeared before them. Their heads were lifted. They were taken out of the ordinary into this extraordinary occurrence. And they look up and they see this heavenly host, this band of angels singing and glorifying and giving praise to God and telling them this great news that they had. The fact of the matter is that in that day and age, and what was going on with the Hebrew people and the Jewish nation, is that there was no reason to be looking up. There was no reason to be anticipating anything great. There was not only political oppression, not only was the state of Israel in disarray politically and civically, the taxation was out of this world. Even their own people were siding with the oppressive government of the Romans and turning against them. I mean, case in point, Matthew the apostle, a tax collector, a Jewish man who had become in cahoots with the Roman Empire, collecting taxes from his own people to support the oppressive government that was occupying their land. And this goes on and on. So not only civically and politically was it just a dark time, but there was religious persecution. I mean, they weren't able to practice, to praise, to have temple worship as freely and as openly as before. And really, they hadn't heard anything, any prophecies from the Lord, any word from the Lord in some 400 years. It was a dark, depressing time. And yet, the story of Jesus, the message of God coming to be with them, was something worthy of them lifting up their heads out of the regular, depressing, oppressed day and life that they had, to see the coming of our Lord. In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, it tells us that at the appointed time, at just the right time, even though it looked its worst, even though that the times were the darkest and the most depressing, at the right time, God brought Jesus. For us today, it might be the same. We might not have any reason to look up, any reason to think anything's going to get any better, any reason to think that the political stay of our nation's going to change at all, or maybe that it just the America just doesn't seem that Christian anymore, and things are just, you know, going to get worse before they ever get better. But as people anticipating the coming of the Lord in our life, can we be people that have our heads lifted up, looking for any unexpected showing of Jesus? The first thing that we have to do is be looking up. Looking up for the angelic message that is to come. And once they saw this, once their heads were lifted, the next change that they make is and not necessarily a change per se, but it would be for us, is that their hearts, not only their heads lifted, but their hearts are united. It tells us, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph. You see, the reality is that good news brings people together. It wasn't a splintering force or effect. It was a uniting force. And seeing Jesus was all that they were thinking about. It doesn't tell us that they sat down and thought about, okay, what's the best way for us to do this? Should we get camels or donkeys? Should we go take this route or that route? What would be the most, you know, expeditious? There was no plan. It was just, let's go. Okay. And it wasn't a, hey guys, I'm going to go. If you want to come, we can go. It was, let's do this. Let's all go see this. There was an inclusion, a spirit of inclusion about this. Let's be united. If we do nothing else because of the coming of Jesus, can we be a united people? Of people who are united in one thing. Now there might be, you know, better routes to take from where we are to Bethlehem. There might be more comfortable ways to get there. There might be all kinds of ways to plan the trip, or you know, there might be some, you know, and it doesn't say that, oh, these shepherds were best buddies. You know, all of the, there might be a lot of things to divide us. There might be a lot of things to argue about, but the one thing that can unite, let's see Jesus. Let's go and see this thing that we've been told about. That's where we are as a people, not only in this country, but more specifically here in this room. Can we have that same spirit this Christmas and moving on throughout the rest of our lives about, let's go and see this thing that we've been told about. And we've been told about a great thing, haven't we? Not just the birth of Christ, but the effect that He has on our lives and the changes that He can make on a daily basis. And not only in us, but in those who haven't yet heard the good news. Can we be a people just like those shepherds in a common, ordinary, everyday life? Say, let's go see this amazing thing. Let's go see what it looks like when Jesus shows up in our life, in the life of others. It's a uniting force. It isn't a divisive thing. Their hearts were united. Their goal was the same. And they went, let's go together. The third change that can be made, not only heads lifted and hearts united, but knees bent before the Lord. As we read this account of the shepherds in Luke chapter 2, it just says that they went off praising God and telling about it. But if we look in Matthew chapter 2 in verse 11, you see an account of the Magi, the wise men, as they've been told, the possible astrologers from the east. In Matthew chapter 2 and verse 11, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother. They bowed down and worshipped him. I can only imagine that the shepherds, when they saw the same thing, when they saw Jesus, when they were in his presence, that was the same reaction that they had, is that whenever Jesus is in the room, worship happens. Whenever there is the presence of our Lord, knees are bent and hearts are lifted to the Lord. Because in the presence of Jesus, worship does happen. Prayers are given. Lives are humbled. Can we be like these people who see Jesus, not just talk about Him, just reminisce about the story, but truly see Jesus being His presence? And allow the overwhelming reality of God being among us, being within us, to humble us to the point that we worship. And not just on this day, but on every day, as Romans 12 and 1, that we worship God as living sacrifices on a daily basis. Can our knees, can our posture be bent, be humbled before God, not just today, not just this season, but always, as we live before the true and living God? I mean, there was something about that kid that when these grown men got in the room, that their posture was changed. He says they bowed down and they worshiped Him. Do we live our lives in a bowed down before God posture? I mean, we're a people who are very familiar with our rights, standing up for those, and that's not a bad thing. But in all of our posturing for within the authority that we may or may not have, do we live a bowed down life before God? And the last thing that happened in Luke chapter 2 is that not only were heads lifted out of the mire of daily life, hearts united in this quest to be before the King of Kings. Not only were their knees bent in worship, but their mouths were opened. You see, we'll tell people about a lot of things, don't we? I mean, we tell people about a lot of things. We'll tell people about ball games. I mean, that's I've told people about ball games. I was texting yesterday about, and I felt so bad about this. We're watching the Georgia Tech game. I just got to confess this. And I thought Georgia, and y'all know Dan Thomas is a big Georgia fan. And I texted him, like, right after they scored to go ahead, and they had like a minute 30 left. I said, great finish. And then Georgia Tech kicked a 53-yard field goal to tie it up, and they won it in overtime. And it felt like I was rubbing it in. And I had to text Dan humbly and say, oh my, I am so sorry. I didn't mean it like that, Dan, I promise. I mean, we'll talk about ball games, won't we? I mean, we'll talk about, hey, did you see that game? Did you do that? You know, this or that. And then, you know, I saw Will this morning. I said, it's on because Alabama's playing Missouri next week. So I can't talk to him at all this week. And he's my mortal enemy. Remember that. I mean, we'll talk about that, won't we? Will we tell about Jesus? Will we show up and say, hey, Will, let me tell you about what Jesus did in my, what happened to me this week. Let me tell you about this God thing that I went through, and oh, I can't wait to tell you. I mean, we'll talk about the great deals that we got on whatever it was that we bought Thursday night and Friday morning, won't we? I mean, we'll tell you, you won't believe it. There was a million people in line, and then I crawled on my knees and I got in between these two people and I pushed down this one old lady, but I got it. And it was 58.5% off. I mean, we'll tell people about those things. What we went through to get the great deals. We'll tell people in about 4 weeks about the cool presents. I mean, if you have teenagers in this day and age, you know to sit an open presence and have them with their phones doing this. What are you doing? Oh, I'm texting so-and-so. They'll never believe what I just got. You know, they put something on, selfie, click, click, and then they send that out. Oh, it's on Twitter. I mean, we'll tell people about the great presents that we just got. But when we believe that Jesus is good news, that the story of the God-man who lived among us, who redeemed us from the pit, who taught us of the love of God and the saving grace, who lived perfectly and died for us and rose again. When we believe that that's really good news, we will speak up. It'll be more exciting to us than any ball game or playoff. It'll be more exciting to us than any good deal or savings or shiny new whatever. It'll be all we can talk about. And people will no longer say, oh, here comes Shane. He's going to tell me about that movie he saw again. Ugh. Oh, he's going to... Here comes so-and-so. She's going to talk about her grandkid. Blech. You know, if I have to listen to one more hunting story from that guy, I'm just really just... Ugh. They'll say, here comes Jamie. I wonder what Jesus did in her life this week. Oh, here comes Howard. He's going to tell me about the gospel. Or they might say, oh, here comes Wes. If I have to hear one more thing about Jesus, I don't know what I'm going to do. You never know. You never know what the reaction is going to be. But when we believe, that Jesus is as good a news as the angels thought He was, we'll speak up. You see, they couldn't help themselves. Shepherds were the lowest of the low in their society. Nobody associated with them, talked to them. It was an outcast position to be in, but they couldn't help but tell people. They crossed over social borders. They crossed over social taboo, whatever, and they told people. And in a society in a nation right now that has a gluttony problem. A gluttony of consumption, as I've said to many people, because if you were out and about Thursday night or Friday morning, afternoon, oh, we have a gluttony of consumption issue in this country. Can we give people a wealth of information about Jesus? And just maybe our desire to consume as a country, as a nation, as a society, maybe our insatiable appetite will turn from things, will turn from the created, and truly be on the Creator. And this Christmas, we can be the people who initiate an epidemic of consuming Jesus and offering more Jesus than anyone's ever seen or heard of. Because when we believe, we will speak up. This morning, as we officially kick off the anticipation of Christmas, can our heads be lifted out of the normal, out of the average, out of the everyday? Can we be united as a people, regardless of what else is going on in the world of Christianity or church or anything else? Can we, here at Highland Hills, be of one mind, of one heart, and one body, bowing in a posture of worship before the Lord and opening our mouths to the glory of Jesus? The best gift that we could give anybody is the story of God, the story of our Lord. And this morning, maybe the first change that needs to be made is a confessing of Christ, of realizing, you know, I've lived my whole life and I've heard the story, I've heard of Jesus and the virgin birth and the life and the death, and I've heard all that, and I've never confessed Him as my Lord and Savior. I've never lifted my head and united my heart with Him and bowed before Him, proclaimed His holy name. Maybe you need to do that this morning. Be baptized into the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Or maybe you've done that and just, you know, allowed the everyday, average, normal oppression, depression, whatever it is to pull you away from that good news. Whatever your need is, would you let us know? Meet me at the front this morning. We can pray with you, pray over you. Whatever your need might be, let me know as together we stand this morning and we worship together.